Hello, Cachimbonas. Welcome to episode 2 of season 7 of Radio Cachimbona. Radio Cachimbona is an abolitionist podcast that audio archives state repression and fierce migrant resistance in the U.S.-Mexico borderlands and breaks down case law and politics from a leftist perspective. As the daughter of Salvadoran immigrants, Yvette prioritizes uplifting the voices and histories of Central Americans. This episode is a very special recording of a virtual press conference that I took part in last month, which was a report back from multiple international observer delegations to the Santa Marta 5 trials in El Salvador, both the original trial that I observed along with Aide, Bernie, and Jorge, which we did an episode on last season, and then also their recent retrial this past summer in El Salvador. And it was a very illuminating panel. I took part, so did Carrie McLean from the National Lawyers Guild, speaking to the delegation of international observers that went to the retrial this summer. Bernie Hammond, who went with me on the October 2024 trial observation, and we focused on it was the day before the verdict announcement of the retrial, and so we were urging the Salvadoran court, the legal system more broadly, to ensure that justice is found and that justice is preserved for the Santa Marta 5, because the only possible just outcome of this case is, of course, another acquittal. And good news is that the day after we recorded this panel, the judges in the retrial also found the Santa Marta 5 innocent of the crime that they've been accused of. And in my comments, I said something that I think is worth emphasizing again, which is that despite this good outcome, right, and these outcomes should be celebrated, of course, there's also the very real fact of this case having upended the lives of the Santa Marta 5 and their family members. It's important to note that their whereabouts are still unknown after they found out that the Attorney General was appealing their acquittal. They went into hiding and put out a statement noting that they had zero trust that they would be tried impartially. And the whole thing was an example of lawfare, the weaponization of the legal system for political ends. So using the processes that are put in place normally to ensure due process being misused, abused against individuals like the Santa Marta 5 in order to harass them, to chill their speech. So I want you all to keep that in mind as you hear remarks from my colleagues at this press conference, and urge you all to support CISPES, to support the work of the International Allies Against Mining in El Salvador, to support the Asociación de Desarrollo Económico Social, ADES, in Santa Marta, that's long been supporting the Santa Marta 5, because this case is not necessarily over. The Attorney General can still appeal the decision, and considering all the ways that this has clearly been a politicized trial, that's definitely still on the table. So urge you all to still keep the Santa Marta 5 in your hearts and mind. Please follow these organizations so that you can be kept up to date with the case, any new developments. If you want to support the Radio Cachimbona podcast, the best way to do so is via the Patreon. I'm trying to put out weekly episodes, but really, you know, I have a whole full-time job as a Laura Gomez teaching fellow, at UCLA Law, teaching, doing research, and I'm not able to fully devote myself to the podcast, although I still nurture this little dream of mine to become a full-time podcaster. That I have this dream of all the Cachimbonas finding it in their wallets to donate $3 a month, and if every single listener would do so, I could podcast full-time and really focus on bringing y'all so much of the content that I want to. But alas, I'm very grateful to the Patreons that have continued supporting me up until this point. If it wasn't for them, I really wouldn't be able to continue podcasting. They have made it somewhat sustainable for me, and the little profit that I do make is able to sustain me and keep this small operation growing. So if you want to support, if you enjoyed this episode, if you missed a new episode last week, then find it in your wallet, in your budget, to become a Patreon. I fully believe in the value of a listener-funded podcast, particularly in this time of corporate media, of growing distrust of mainstream media outlets, in this era of growing fascism. It's really important to nurture the voices that you trust. So I implore you to become a Radio Cachimbona patron. And it's, by the way, not necessarily a charity, because you will get access to the Lit Review, amazing content that I call a book club for Cachimbonas. These are Patreon exclusive episodes where myself and other women of color break down timely texts. I again don't do corporate ad space because I believe in being listener funded. So the link to join the Patreon is in the show notes. It's also always in the link in my bio on Instagram. You can follow at Radio Cachimbona on Instagram, X, or Facebook. Please also leave an Apple Podcast or Spotify rating. I know that there's many people that want to support the podcast but can't do so monetarily. I completely understand. This economy is total shit. So if you want to support but can't do so monetarily, leaving an Apple Podcast or Spotify rating and review, letting listeners know why it is that you continue listening, is greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you to Grant Bloom for the intro and the audio editing, as always. I hope that you all enjoy this episode. The last thing I'll say is that I have contemplated doing an Ask Me Anything episode, where y'all can send in questions about whatever immigration topics you're seeing in the news, whatever legal questions you have, whatever movement lawyer questions you have, or whatever questions you have about legal academia, because trust me, that's a whole Pandora's box we haven't even opened yet on the podcast. So if you are interested in that and you have questions you want to ask me, please email radiocachimbona@gmail.com, and I'll answer your questions in an Ask Me Anything episode coming up soon. That's it for now. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you all enjoy this episode. Bye.
Welcome to this webinar today. It's a pleasure to have you all here with us. This is the Santa Marta 5 Water Defenders Report back session to bring you up to date. For very important news that is happening tomorrow. As I said before, I'm Christine Neufeld, Global Partnerships Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean for the United Church of Canada. And I'm proud to be a member of International Allies Against Mining in El Salvador, and I'll be your moderator for this session. We just spoke about the translation, and you're welcome to also put any questions you might have, any comments you have, into the chat. During the session, we'll have a question and answer period towards the end after our four presenters. And as you just heard, this webinar will be recorded, and then it'll be edited and put up on YouTube in the days after this webinar. So who are we here? We are the International Allies Against Mining in El Salvador. It's a coalition of organizations from the United States, of Canada, and Australia that has worked for years alongside Salvadorian communities defending their right to clean water. Since January 2023, we have stood alongside with many of you, the Santa Marta water defenders, in their fight for justice. As you know, in October, many of you know, in October 2023, eight delegates from the Allies visited El Salvador and held meetings with leaders of civil society and human rights groups, lawyers, economists, members of legislature, and others in El Salvador to document the case of the defenders. The delegation published the report, State of Deception, a fact-finding report on the detained El Salvador defenders, the state of human rights under the Bukele administration. And then in October 2024, a year later, at the request of local organizations, we sent a delegation of lawyers and academics to observe the original trial of the water defenders. And then again in July 2025, International Allies sent a three-member delegation of international observers. They're here today to the retrial of the water defenders. And we're going to hear back from them today, along with the president of ADES, Vitalina Morales. Why does this matter now? Tomorrow, we will hear the verdict of the case of the Santa Marta Five. This will not only decide their fate, it will send a signal about the critical state of human rights and environmental protection in El Salvador. Present at the trial will be international diplomatic missions. We understand that France and Canada will be there, and possibly representatives of other missions, as well as other representatives of the international civil society community. This is extremely important, the presence of these missions, as it indicates to Bukele and the Salvadorian state that international community is following and watching this trial. And what can we do? We'll be sharing more about that, but we're going to be asking you to take the pledge to be in solidarity with the Salvadorian water defenders so we can contact you tomorrow after the verdict is read and let you know what actions can be taken. So I've let you know. So we've talked a little bit about what we're going to be doing. We're going to be hearing from Vitalina. We're going to be hearing from the members of the international observers that were there this past July to bring us all up to date and prepared for hearing tomorrow's verdict. And then we'll have time for questions and answers. So as you know, the Santa Marta water defenders were among the leaders of the historic and successful campaign that convinced the Salvadoran legislature in 2017 to unanimously pass a ban on metals mining to save the nation's rivers. Their arrest is part of an ongoing and disturbing trend undermining human rights, civil rights, and environmental rights in El Salvador, and the persecution of those who defend them. And we're just going to do a little bit recaps of the judicial timeline that has gotten us to this point. It's been a long one. In July 2023, police arrested the Santa Marta water defenders and charged them on charges allegedly dating back to the country's civil war. It held them incommunicado for over 8 months and then placed them on house arrest, largely due to international and Salvadorian calls for their release. So they were placed on house arrest until their trial date. When the five were finally tried in October 2024, after a long legal defense campaign that denounced a series of irregularities with the proceedings, the tribunal dismissed all charges against them due to lack of evidence and ruled that the five were completely innocent of the sham charges of murder and illicit association that were laid against them. However, in a ruling that has been widely condemned as a travesty of justice, An appeals court annulled that innocent verdict, allowing the Attorney General's office to try them again with the same charges. In the middle of this series of legal process of the water defenders, on December 23rd, just before Christmas last year, El Salvador's legislature passed a new law that allowed mining back into the country, omitting environmental impact assessments, lacking transparent information on mining activities, and this law does not require consultation and consent of the communities that are impacted. On February 3rd, picking back up the judicial timeline, a new trial was postponed after the water defenders issued a statement that they would not be attending the proceedings. They were concerned over procedural irregularities that were widely documented throughout their case, the lack of independence in the judicial system, and the risk to their lives posed by possible incarceration in the precarious Salvadorian penitentiary system. The trial was postponed again in June after the defense team presented a petition to recuse the presiding judge for his alleged ties to the defunct National Guard. And then finally, in July this year, a second trial took place. After three intense days of arguments, the session was adjourned, and that brings us up to now, the day before the day the verdict will be read, when a three-judge panel will let us know what the results of their deliberations will be. So that brings us up to hear the findings, the observations of the international observers who represented the international allies this past July at the retrial. And I want to hand the palabra, the word, over to Carrie McLean, who is representing the National Lawyers Guild. Thank you, Carrie, for being here with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Carrie McLean. I'm an international human rights lawyer from the United States, and I'm a co-chair of the International Committee of the National Lawyers Guild. I'll present the statement written by the delegation that observed the second trial of the Santa Marta environmentalists. On January 11th, 2023, police arrested Antonio Pacheco, Saul Agustin Rivas, Alejandro Limes, Miguel Angel James, Pedro Antonio Rivas, and Fidel Recinos for the alleged murder of Maria Inez Alvarenga in 1989 during the civil war that gripped El Salvador from 1979 until 1992. All five men were avid environmentalists who played an active part in bringing about the 2017 ban on metallic mining in El Salvador, the first such ban in the world. After 8 months in jail and following an international outcry, the men were released to house arrest. It wasn't until October 8th, 2024, however, that the men were finally brought to trial in the sentencing court. During that hearing, a team of international observers, which included Dr. Hammond, were able to listen to allegations brought by the prosecution and to the defense arguments mounted by lawyers for the accused. Despite a lengthy search, the prosecution was unable to find the body of the alleged victim. The prosecution presented a protected witness who first claimed to have witnessed the murder, but later admitted that he'd only heard of the murder from other sources. Additionally, the defense was able to produce multiple witnesses who testified that at the time of the alleged murder, the accused were in a distant part of the country and could not have committed the alleged crime in Santa Marta. Consequently, the judicial tribunal ruled that the prosecution had failed to prove that a crime had occurred, let alone that the defendants were guilty of having committed the alleged crime. Thus, the tribunal of the sentencing court acquitted the five environmentalists on October 18th, 2024. The Attorney General, however, decided to appeal the case, and the appellate court ruled that another trial could be held. After several postponements, the trial finally took place in the Integrated Judicial Center of Second Instance of San Salvador, El Salvador, on July 29th, 30th, and 31st, 2025. Like the previous trial, the case was heard by a tribunal of judges. The accused were tried in absentia since their whereabouts are presently unknown. As international observers, our role was not to examine evidence or draw conclusions as to the guilt or innocence of the accused. Rather, our role was to monitor the trial with a special concern that it proceeded impartially, with adequate respect for due process and an honest attempt to arrive at a just resolution. We are happy to report that the trial held on July 29th, 30th, and 31st, 2025, proceeded with apparent impartiality, with the judges exercising an open and fair hearing for both the prosecution and the defense. For example, we observed that the presiding judge swiftly rejected attempts by the prosecution to remove a piece of evidence that was damning to their case and the introduction of certain elements that were not part of the evidence in the original trial. We do have some concerns, however. The first is the very unusual nature of the decision to conduct another trial after the acquittal of all five accused men in October 2024. This actually violates El Salvador's own constitution. In the second trial, we learned that a body still had not been found, and the prosecution was still unable to refute the testimony of two witnesses who testified that the accused were in another part of the country, far away from Santa Marta, on the date of the alleged murder. In the second trial, the prosecution presented the same witnesses with the same uncertainties and contradictions as the first trial. For example, the prosecution introduced a psychologist who seemed to have limited academic qualifications. She described at length her treatment of the alleged murder victim's daughter. The sum of this testimony was that the daughter had suffered from severe stress, which was not a surprising fact considering that she had experienced the disappearance of her mother. However, that testimony didn't provide any evidence about whether or not the accused men were guilty. Secondly, at the last moment at the end of the trial, the prosecution requested and the tribunal allowed the introduction of a greatly enlarged, undated photograph of the accused in Santa Marta. We can only assume this was intended to address the failure of the prosecution to credibly show that the accused were in Santa Marta on the date that the alleged murder occurred. However, since there was no date on the photo, it wasn't actually helpful. As noted above, two witnesses for the defense had testified that the accused, who were members of the National Resistance faction of FMLN, were in the mountains of Guazapa preparing for a major offensive on the date of the alleged murder. As we stated at the outset, it's not our role or intention to usurp the prerogative of the court to arrive at a decision in the case. We must say, however, that given the failure of the prosecution to introduce any additional credible evidence, and given the demonstrations of impartiality and respect for due process that we witnessed throughout the proceedings, we would expect that the tribunal will confirm the acquittal of the accused arrived at in the October 2024 trial. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Thank you very much for the very clear summary of the International Observer's observations of the trial in July, and walking us through the assessment. Thank you very much. Like for us to turn right now to hear from Barry Hammond, also another participant in that International Observer team, and a professor from University of Western Ontario. So over to you, Bernie.
First of all, I'd just like to say it's nice to be here and see so many familiar faces that I have worked with in the past. I was, a member of the delegation organized by the Institute for Policy Studies under John Cavana, which investigated what was happening in El Salvador generally, and helped write the report on that visit, which we called The State of Deception. And I was also privileged to be a member of the International Observer trial for the trial in October 2024, along with colleagues that I see here today as well, like Yvette Borja. And where did he go? Jorge Cuellar. And of course, Aide Tassanira, from Mexico. And yeah, so I again, of course, went as an observer with Carrie to the trial in July. So, as an international observer for the first and the second trial, I wanted to comment that we were impressed at the first trial in October with the professionalism of the tribunal who heard the case. We were also impressed by the expertise and the thoroughness of the defense during the trial as they proceeded to examine the case and presented the defense of the Santa Marta Five. So we were very pleased to hear the conclusion of the tribunal in October that first of all, there was no satisfactory argument that in fact the murder had occurred, no body had been found, etc. And secondly, that testimony of two witnesses for the defense were argued, in fact, that at the time of the alleged murder, the Santa Marta Five were, in fact, in another part of the country. We were surprised to hear that the decision had been appealed from the October trial, and that a new trial had been ordered. After several delays and cancellations, as we pointed out already, the second trial finally took place in El Salvador in July 29th, 30th, and 31st. And again, as an international observer, I was equally surprised that the prosecution failed to introduce any new evidence, nor to make the case that the five had been in the vicinity of the alleged murder at the time. So, as a consequence of that, I will be even more surprised if this verdict, this tribunal, in fact, reaches a guilty verdict. I just don't see how they can do that on the basis of the evidence that was presented to them. If, in fact, the verdict is different, if they find the five guilty, or if the verdict is the same and it's appealed, we have to keep in mind that the reality since the original arrest of the people have effectively silenced these five people who might have been a very loud voices in opposing the reintroduction of mining in El Salvador. The law for which will make this possible was passed on December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas in 2024. So the long delay in the trial, the first trial, and then the second trial, means, of course, that the Santa Marta Five are being punished one way or another. And even if they are, pardon me, if the verdict is negative, or whether the appeal occurs or does not occur, this will simply mean an extension of the punishment that has been meted out to them. And that punishment, of course, has effectively sidelined them from any kind of activity as El Salvador approaches more and more a state of dictatorship. And I just wanted to end by saying that even though this whole set of trials has been a punishment for the Santa Marta Five, their punishment, of course, must be seen in the context of the punishment of the many, many, many people who have been incarcerated in Bukele's El Salvador and who remain in prison without any defense and without any opportunity to defend themselves. So, on that note, I will finish. If there are any questions about anything that I've said, I'd be happy to answer them. And again, I just want to say it's wonderful to see all the faces of people that I've worked with in the past on the call today, and extend to you all a very special hello. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Really appreciate that. Thank you for drawing out the possible implications of whatever verdict, including possible appeals, the implications of long drawn out legal processes for the five and for any other human rights defenders, and for the causes that they represent. And then also, the implications of the type of persecution for human rights defenders in El Salvador who do not have defense and are incarcerated. Thank you very much for that. Passing la palabra, the word over now to Yvette, another member of the International Observers team, who also attended both trials. So thank you, Yvette, for being here, and the word goes over to you now.
Thank you, Christy. I was an observer in the July, or sorry, in the October trial of 2024, but wanted to speak to how the appeals trial that was held in July and the overall criminal prosecution of the Santa Marta Five really demonstrates the meaning of the term lawfare or the weaponization of the legal system for political ends. The three-judge tribunal in the October 2024 trial that I observed, along with Bernie and others, found that the prosecution hadn't even proven that a crime had occurred, let alone that the five were guilty of committing it. The five endured 8 months of incarceration incommunicado, not allowed any communication with friends and family who had no idea about their whereabouts. One of the five also experienced police brutality during one evening of the trial, where he was taken to a police station and held for hours without food, despite his chronic diabetes. And despite the five having overcome all of this mistreatment, the attorney general still thought it best to appeal the decision. And while the ability to appeal is a standard mechanism within the legal system and one that is usually necessary to ensure due process, I have to note the total lack of credible evidence from the first trial that I observed, and also note that the prosecutor didn't introduce any new evidence during this most recent appeals trial. And this again demonstrates how the continued proceedings against the five aren't about finding truth. It's about weaponizing the legal system against these environmental defenders. The five were acquitted of the murder of Maria Ines Alvarenga, but what they're actually guilty of in the eyes of the government is their is their role in the historic passage of the 2017 National Metals Mining Ban. The political ends that the government hopes to achieve with the continued persecution of the five is the chilling of speech of environmental advocates. Indeed, the five's whereabouts are currently unknown, as they stated they would not be attending this retrial given their loss of belief in the legal system's legitimacy. As Bernie just pointed out, had this not been the case, they likely would have been loud voices in opposition to the country's foray into metals mining. The only fair and legitimate outcome of the retrial is another acquittal. But even if that occurs, we have to remember that the process that the five have been put through is an unacceptable example of the illegitimate use of the criminal legal system. And we have to note that their case is not an isolated one. Bukele's state of exception has robbed thousands of due process and trapped them in the black hole that is the country's incarceration system. Whatever happens tomorrow, everyone being held indefinitely without trial needs our support and attention as well, because they are also victims of lawfare. We can't be satisfied with attempts at appearances of due process, especially when these procedural protections are window dressing to disguise the true persecution that the five and so many others have faced. I wanted to end my comments there and echo Bernie's thanks for everyone coordinating us to be here. And it's really great to see so many of my colleagues' faces here today. And I'm really gratified to know that people are keeping up with this ongoing persecution. Thank you.
So now we have a bit of time, and for those who can stay over, if there's more questions, please feel free to ask them. We'll take the time, we'll go over time to do some good dialogue right now. So open for questions and answers.
The moment that we're facing, the El Salvador society and nation, and we've been following this case very closely from Canada, the last 2 years and a half, almost 3 years in January, since, and I always remember the 3 o'clock in the morning tweets telling us of five national heroes from El Salvador being detained. And we know that something was very wrong. And since then, since that tragic night of January 11, 2023, we've been seeing a civil society crackdown. We've seen rollback of the peace accords. We've seen closure of civil society organizations, persecution of union leaders, and now our national water defenders of El Salvador. And from Canada, from the America's Policy Group and other coalitions that I hear, I see also Representative Common Frontiers and Canadian Network for Corporate Accountability. I see lots of solidarity from Canada, and we stand with you, the people of El Salvador, the water defenders, and in particular the community of Santa Marta. I hold very close to my desk. Oh, you don't see it. Oh, I have always my banner that says Free the Santa Marta Five. And tomorrow we will be praying, but also in action, monitoring the news that will come out from the verdict that will be read. And we are prepared, as John asked the question, what can we do? And I know that there's a response that is being prepared by our organization. So we'll be for sure retweeting and sharing our position, whether it's positive or negative. So I invite everybody to look and monitor the international allies, the CISPES, ACAFREMIN, International, La Mesa, all of our organizational social media platforms to retweet and share our the communique that we'll be launching tomorrow. I also want to give a quick update that we've been from the America's Policy Group here in Canada, very much keeping in touch with Canadian officials. And since the beginning, we've put the radar to the government of Canada to have an eye on this trial as a litmus test of where the judicial system is heading in El Salvador. And with the detention, arbitrary detention, with the state of exception, and now with this trial, it's just confirming our grave concerns that the judicial system, as Yvette has said, has really well described, that it's being used to attack and intimidate opposition. So it's a battle on all fronts, on democracy, on human rights, on the judicial system, and Canada has its eyes on this case. We can confirm that we will have representative from the Embassy of Canada tomorrow as international observers on the trial. And my understanding that other countries will be there as well, as had been mentioned. So we will keep an eye and demand that Canada, as it says, Canada claims to be promoting and defending human rights defenders. Well, this is a perfect opportunity to continue that engagement. So thank you very much. And seguimos, estamos desde Canadá con los defensores del agua. Que viva Santa Marta, que viva Hades, que viva los defensores del medio ambiente, que viva el pueblo salvadoreño.
So perhaps if there aren't any other any other questions at this point, maybe we can, I'm used to finishing because I'm a churchy, meetings with a prayer, but I would just like to finish with just taking a moment to, in whatever way you feel comfortable and whatever expression is comfortable for you as a person of faith, no faith, spirituality or whatever, just to lift your heart and send expressions of solidarity to the Santa Marta Water Defenders now, for tomorrow, for all the people that will be standing with them, for all of the organizations that have been part of that fight to protect the waters, for all of the people who in El Salvador, all of the civil society organizations who have been fighting to respond to the country's demands of its communities for a more just and more equal future, for all of the organizations who over the years have stood in solidarity with the Salvadorian people. May we continue to work together. May they continue to be blessed. May they continue to have full liberty. May the families of the Santa Marta Five receive their people home in full freedom and security. May it be so. May we continue to work until it's all done. May we continue to have that wish and belief in our hearts. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for journeying together. Until we meet again, because we will. Thank you.